Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat
life at Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I am your host tonight. The music you were listening to at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence by Shem Shai. And I just want to say welcome to those of you that are here with us tonight, whether you're joining us for the first time or whether you're returning to the show. And here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. Some weeks I'm discussing different aspects of how compassion is in and affects our life and the different areas of compassion. And some weeks I'm discussing or doing more exercises and practical implementations. Many times I have guests on the show, just like tonight, and that way you can learn about their work and how other things complement and work with compassion. And I'm going to be highlighting different musical artists along the way, so that's also exciting that we have. And then some nights I have just simple call-in coaching nights, and those are nights where you can call in, share what's happening in your life, and I'll work with you live on the air to help you get through things, make breakthroughs, and answer the questions that you have. So remember, when you're asking questions and you're sharing things with us here on the air, whether it's through the phone lines or live in the chat area, and I'll be watching for both of them, that you're actually helping other people that way, because somebody else probably has the same question that you've got out there. Now, I do see that we've got a couple of people in our switchboard area, and I just want to remind those people that if you do have a question along the way for either myself or Stacy, that you just go ahead and press 1, and that will pop up a little question mark, and I'll know that you want to talk with our guest or talk on the air tonight. And we're going to kind of switch things up. A lot of people are used to me having a format here, but Stacy's being really generous with her time tonight, and she has just an hour for us to work with. So we're going to bring her on right away, and then some of the things I normally do at the beginning of the show, I'm going to be doing after we have her on tonight. So I hope you'll hang in for that, for just some thought-provoking discussion afterwards. And I want to kind of get to things right away, like I said, because her time is limited. And I do have tonight for my guest, Stacy Hall, and I am going to be bringing her on here. And Stacy is the CEO and founder of the Hall Institute of Intuitive Wellness. She is saving the lives of people stressed to the snapping point. And Stacy is the author of Chi to Be, Achieving Your Ultimate Be-All. And she's also the creator of Chi to Be Mastery Program. She is also the co-author of the global bestseller, Attracting Perfect Customers, The Power of Strategic Synchronicity. And we're going to be discussing tonight how to increase the Chi in your life. And you'll be able to connect with Stacy through her social media, such as Facebook and LinkedIn. You can also check out more about her work on her website, which is www.chi-2-b.com. I did type that into the chat area earlier, and I'm going to do that again just so people can see it. It's www.chi-2-b.com. And that's for Stacy Hall. And I'm going to go ahead and open her mic up here, bring her on the air. Hi, Stacy. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. I know your time has been very, very full lately, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us here tonight and share the work that you're doing.
Well, it's really an honor to be with you, Jessie-Ann, and I appreciate the invitation, and I'm thrilled to be here with so many people who are listening in live as well. And a big shout-out to Tamara Kelly. I see you there, Tammy. Loved it that you're with me.
Yeah, and that's great, and I do see her there in the chat as well. And, again, people, if you have questions for Stacy along the way, you can either call in. The number is 760-542-4345, and then you press 1 to get into our question queue. And then I'll also be paying attention to the chat area as well for people that have questions there. Now, Stacey, I'd love to start off with just having you kind of share a little bit about your story. Who's Stacey, and how did Stacey get into this work that she's doing?
Okay, well, I'm going to be as brief as I can, but it's a little bit of a story. So I started out life, my adult life, in everything there was to do in advertising, marketing, and public relations, worked for some major corporations, including Federal Express, worked very hard, rose up the ladder quite quickly, and did so compromising my health every step along the way. There was a time when I was traveling 90% of the time around the U.S., and it took a big toll on me. And so by the time I was 30 years old, I was hospitalized for a period of time with something that the doctor said was something viral. That was their medical prognosis. It was something viral that had affected my liver. And so from the time I was 30 years old, since medical science didn't have an answer for me, I had set out to explore alternatives. And I dabbled in it, and I would go to chiropractors and massage therapists, and I'd take vitamins and supplements here and there, and I would play with different diets here and there. And then I'd start to feel better, and I'd go back to my old habits of being a workaholic and eating whatever I felt like, and there you go. Well, in 2004, I had three major stress-inducing experiences. And my body just could not take any more. And in January of 2005, I wound up with extreme adrenal failure to the point where I literally could not get out of bed for longer than a couple of hours max each day. And I was just absolutely dragging physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And again, I was consulting alternative practitioners, homeopathic doctors, nutritionists, and not getting very much relief at all. And somewhere along in that process, about 2 years and 3 months into the process, I was invited to a class on how to use essential oils for a massage therapist. And I said to the host, would it be all right if I came for just an hour? Because for these last 2 years, I haven't been able to do more than that. And it's going to be hard enough for me to just drive there, let alone stay and take the whole class. But I'd love to hear at least a part of it. And what happened is I was introduced to the oils. I was actually able to stay at the class all 8 hours. I felt better than I had in years. And within a couple of days, I was completely out of bed. Now, that's one part of my health story, and I will tell you it changed my life, and as a result, I became a certified health coach, natural therapies coach. But in addition to that, because my physical body was stronger, I was able to take a good, hard look at myself and how I got myself into that place in the first place. And I started praying about it, asking for guidance of how could I continue to stay well and not repeat the mistakes of the past. And little by little, information came through to me. Sometimes it came as a suggestion from someone. Sometimes it came just as divine inspiration. Sometimes it came as my own intuition. But I said that as the information started to come, that I would use each of these bits of guidance, these tips, this advice, these remembrances. And when I was 100% well, it would be my joy to be able to share what I've learned with other people. And all of it falls under the umbrella of being stressed to the snapping point, Jesse Ann. That was it, that physical stress, emotional stress, mental stress got me to the breaking point. And I happen to now have the privilege of supporting many people around the world who have gotten themselves to that point and bringing them back very quickly using the tips that I call energy surges from my book.
And that's awesome. And I know that challenge of dealing with the medical world and having them have no explanation, because I went through quite a bit of that myself a few years back when I was living in Arizona. And it is a challenge, and you're sitting there, and it's like, now what do I do? And I think that drive is a huge one, and it's definitely inspirational, because I think especially in these days and times, there is so much stress, and people are at that breaking point. And I've watched your work over the last year just really excel and really take off in an amazing way. Now, why did you decide to write Chi to Be, or how did it come up with that name, Chi to Be?
Well, that's one of the things that I can only tell you was primarily inspiration. So Chi means energy. That's what it means. But until 2007, 2008, somewhere in there, I never used the word. I was starting to share my experiences. As I was getting better, people who knew me wanted to know what I was doing. And so I started out actually teaching friends and friends of friends these tips and energy surges. And I called my program early on Shortcuts to Success. Well, when it came time to write the book in 2010, fall of 2010, I did a search at that time, and only to find out that there was already a whole training program out in the world called Shortcuts to Success. So I wasn't going to be able to use that term. And along the way, as I said, somewhere around 2007, 2008, 2009 in there, I was becoming more and more aware of Chi energy. So when it came time to come up with a title for the book, I wanted to speak about energy. And there were books out there, Be Energized, Be Empowered, Be Powerful. Okay, well, that's the kind of thing I want to say, but they're already taken. So I just sat down one day and got quiet, got centered, and I heard use the word Chi. Okay, well, what am I going to do with Chi? Well, it's about beingness, is what I heard. So there you go, the play on words, Chi to be. So the energy to be well and to be able to do whatever we want to do with that newfound energy and wellness.
And that's great. And Stacey, you might have noticed there we do have in the chat somebody that was asking in relation to all this, were there any masters with written works that inspired you?
Many people inspired me along the way. So the first thing is, this is my second book. My first book was written in 2001. And at that time, the people who inspired me were, and still are, Wayne Dyer and Laura Day. Some of you may be familiar with their work. And Sarah Breathnick, who wrote Simple Abundance. Their works very much inspired me to become me and not be who other people wanted me to be. In writing Chi to Be, though, there's only two books that I refer to, and that is one is The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, and the other is a book about feng shui that I refer to as well in the chapter about clearing clutter. I also refer to a fitness experience that I am trained in called the NIA technique, N-I-A technique, which taught me some fabulous self-discipline principles as well as how to tap into my physical, emotional, mental, and spirit bodies. So I would say that most of the rest of it has come through divine inspiration and my own intuition of what to do for me that's made sense. And I know that a lot of it is original, because when I share it with people, and I've shared it with a lot of people, They've never experienced anything like Cheetah Bee. And I know that at least two people who are on the phone line can tell you about that. That's Tamara and Shannon. Both have experienced the Cheetah Bee energy surges and have reported that their lives are different as a result.
And that's exciting. And I know I find that with my own work as well, is when you see people take it and implement something that you've created and you see it work in their life and you see it change in their life. And you see these results come about, and it's just such a blessing when you see it all come together like that with it. Now, what is your primary message, would you say, of Chi to be?
The primary message is that energy is what we tap into in order to feel good. Okay, now that seems very simple, but it's a lesson that most people don't know. So let's talk about what depression is. You know, the depression is an actual experience of low energy, low life force energy. When we feel happy, when we feel good, it's because our energy is lifted to a higher vibration. And I want to start speaking about this from a scientific standpoint, Jessie-Ann, so that people don't think I'm just going off on a woo-woo tangent here. There's a company out of Cheney, Washington, Tainio Technology, owned by Bruce Tainio, T-A-I-N-I-O. And his studies I learned about through a book called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple by Dr. David Stewart. The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple by Dr. David Stewart, when I was going through my training as a certified natural therapies coach. And in these studies, where more than just essential oils were studied, Tainio Technology studied the vibrational energy of anything you can think of, from coffee to plants to herbs to oils to the human body. So when a human body is healthy, on average, the energy will measure 64 to 68 megahertz. When a body has been stressed and the energy has been lowered as a result, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional, if that energy lowers down to about 54 megahertz, the body will be susceptible to the flu, to colds, and to viruses. If the body continues to have prolonged stress placed on it so that its vibrational energy lowers down to 40 megahertz, that's when the cancer cells start to form. And if a body continues to have prolonged stress, be under prolonged stress without relief consistently, it will start to die when the physical energy measures 25 megahertz. And death has been determined to occur when the body's energy reaches 20 megahertz. So this has actually scientifically been proven that we vibrate, if you will, higher and lower. So negative thoughts that we think about ourselves lower our energy. Allowing other people's negative thoughts to have an impact on us lowers our energy. Most people do not know how to raise their own vibration. They blame other people for lowering their energy. So I provide 11 important ways to every day ensure that we are keeping ourselves at the highest vibration we possibly can. And that's what the book is about. So everything from how to schedule our day to how to be clear about what we're agreeing to how to communicate clearly with other people, to how to keeping our homes and our spaces and our minds clear of clutter, how to attract, how to tap into the law of attraction to attract people that lift us up rather than tear us down, all of that is in my book, Cheetah Bee.
And what's really important in there, and one of the people in chat, Shannon, was mentioning this as well, about not blaming others for where you're at. It's so important to take that accountability, and I teach that as well with the work I do, is that accountability factor. It's not up to other people to make us happy, and they really can't drag us down unless we choose to let them. So we always have that influence, I think, over where we're going to vibrate. We have that choice, but we have to take that accountability in the process of it. Now, you mentioned 11 different things. Would that be your chi to be energy surges?
Yes, those are the 11 energy surges. And I'm looking in the chat, and I want to first off acknowledge Tamara and Shannon for their comments. Also, Kevin, you said, is that a biorhythm? Biorhythms are a different form of measurement, but definitely the biorhythms will have an effect, if you will. They play a part in the measurement of the body's vibration, for sure. They're connected. So I just want to make sure you know that.
Good. So perfect. So then maybe you can share with us the chi to be energy surges that you have.
I would be happy to. And just lastly, Kevin, no, a megahertz is a megahertz of frequency. It's not a mind frequency. It's an energy. You can measure the mind's energy. You can measure the physical body's energy. The 64 to 68 megahertz has to do with the overall body taking the mind and the physical body into an average. So that's the average. And again, you can learn more about this at The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple by Dr. David Stewart. So the energy surges that are in chi to be, achieving your ultimate be-all, and people ask me, what is a be-all? And it's spelled be-all, and it's a shorthand for our be-all, end-all goal. Before I get into the energy surges, Jessianne, I would like to explain. There's a couple of terms that I've decided to throw out of my life and replace them because I do feel that they have a higher energy to them. One is, I don't worry about the why. You know, for the longest time, people were taught to think about what is their big why. And what I found is that if we have to justify something, it's because we're looking to the past. Something happened in the past, so this is the why we're doing something now. And what I prefer is, let's leave the past in the past and simply look towards the future. What do we want to create in the future? Whatever that is, that's our be-all, end-all goal. So be-all is a shorthand for be-all, end-all goal. And we're looking to the future for it rather than to the past. And with that said, one of the energy surges is personal accountability. And I made that the last energy surge because I knew darn well if I made it the first chapter, people would look at it, shut the book, and never read it. And the reason being is that most of us have a relationship to accountability that has nothing to do with us. We're still tied to feeling accountable to other authority figures in our lives, like our parents, our teachers, our bosses. Accountability has nothing to do with another person. Just because they say to us, what can I count on you for? They can say it till the cows come home. Accountability is, what do we want to be able to count on ourselves to be, to do, to have? And to release ourselves from the shoulds of being accountable to other people. Once we know what we want to be counted on for, to ourselves, then when someone asks us, can you do this? Will you do that? Can I count on you for this? You can decide if you want to be responsible. I can decide if I want to be responsible for saying yes or saying no to that person. Meaning I can respond. I have the ability to respond to that person. However, I wish to respond so that I'm in alignment with my accountability to myself. Does that make sense, Jessianne?
Yes, it does. Yeah, absolutely. And that is an important factor, that responding area, as opposed to reactive spaces or going off on some of the other tangents. I did notice Kevin also was asking for some clarification, it looks like, in there. And he's asking, so let go of the things we feel need a recovery.
Kevin, I'm going to ask you to clarify a little more what you're asking, because this is not about, I don't think I used the word recovery at all. It doesn't have anything to do with that. So I'm misunderstanding your question. If you can clarify it, I'd be happy to address it. What I'm talking about is releasing ourselves from the shoulds and obligations. When most people, when my clients come to me and tell me that they're upset because somebody asked something of them and they didn't want to do it, I'll always say, then why did you? And they said, because it's the right thing to do. And I'll say, who says? And they'll say, well, it's just what I've always done. Right, it's what you've always done. It's what people have come to expect of you. You've done this to yourself. They didn't do anything to you. They made a request. You said yes. If you didn't want to say yes, why did you say yes? Stop shitting on ourselves and then stop being resentful that other people asked us to do something. They have every right to ask. We have every right to say yes or no. How we make the decision of what we're going to say is by what do we want to accomplish in our lives. And if saying yes will help us accomplish it, great. If saying no will make sure that we are free to accomplish it by freeing up our time, then great to that as well. People are allowed to ask. We're allowed to say yes or no. And it's really just that simple. But when we put a whole lot of shoulds all around it, it's no longer simple. It's full of emotional drama.
Right, and I think that's so true, because there's so many people that live by the shoulds, the obligations, I'm supposed to do this, that it's my role, it's my job, it's this, and they don't take that time to stop and honor, is this really useful to me? Is this what I need to be doing? And we see that in a lot of different situations, relationships, family, where we feel like I should do this because they can't do that, or I should be helping, and really it starts pulling us in all these different directions. Now it looks like Kevin has reposted in there, and he's saying, so many things owed for completion in the past before the future can unfold. And he says, I hope that makes sense.
It does make sense, and Kevin, if that's how it appears for you, okay, I honor that. What I'm saying is the past, so just be complete with it. And that may mean clearing out some clutter. So another one of the energy surges is clearing both physical clutter, because physical clutter, if it's been sitting there for a while, probably has some emotional clutter attached to it, but we have a whole lot of emotional clutter in our minds, most of us. And it comes, again, I'm just going to keep bringing it back. If we think we should do something, that is not something we're choosing to do. That's something that somebody told us we should do, and we're feeling guilty because we don't want to do it. And what I'm saying is, let's stop feeling guilty about it. Choose powerfully. Yes, I'm going to do it, and it's my choice to do it, and my energy will come up as a result. Or I'm choosing not to do it, and I'm going to release the energy that this other person may be directing towards me, because it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with their own upsets.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And that's where the Four Agreements comes in, which is energy surge number 5, is be impeccable with our words. Say only what we mean to say. Let's not be nice and tell something that they to somebody that we think they want to hear when we don't mean it. Let's be kind and tell the truth. Let's not make assumptions about what people are doing. Let's make sure we ask them what they're doing before we allow ourselves to get upset. Let's not take anything personally to the extent that we can. And let's always remember we're doing our best. So I'm going to tell one on myself here. This week I had a situation that involved a couple of other people, and it didn't go exactly the way I wanted it to go. And somebody wrote something that I didn't understand. And I had to work very, very hard with myself, honestly, because it triggered something for me emotionally. And I knew it was a trigger. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I knew it was a trigger. I knew I was making an assumption. And I had to wait until today to ask the person about it. So I'm going to say, it still made me tense when I thought about it, but I had to keep saying to myself, you don't know the reason. You're taking it personally. Stop it. Look to see what it's triggering for you and wait till you can ask the question. And today I was able to ask the question of the person, and I realized that I was just, it had put me in a situation where I felt I had allowed myself to feel out of control. Like the things were happening and I wasn't controlling them. And then I had to laugh at myself because that's old behavior for me. Most of the time I go with the flow. And I looked at it and went, okay, this is just me wanting to be my old way. I'm a little tired today. This is a new area for me. I'm not used to doing it perfectly, so I'm feeling like I need to be in control. And yet, once I realized that I had forgotten energy surge number 2, do it my way any way I can. Don't be a perfectionist, Stacey. Let it go. Get started. Do it some way. You'll work it out. I had to laugh. I apologized to the person for being tense when I first started the conversation. I'm completely relaxed at this point. So that's where do your best comes in, because even though I practice these energy surges all day, every day, I'm still human. And sometimes I'm going to slip into old behavior, but if I can recognize it for what it is, I can release it, let it go, and you know, own it that I did it, knowing that it doesn't make me a bad person, just that it's a weak area for me, and I'm going to keep strengthening it.
Absolutely, and you touch on so many good points in there of being true to yourself by doing it your way. And you, when you touch on the aspects of assumptions and taking things personally, this is such a big thing that I'm getting into with the next set of books that I'm currently working on. And over again, I'm having to remind clients that I work with, don't take this personally. This person might be dealing with some stress today. They might, they might have a lot going on in their family life. It may not be that they're just deliberately trying to ignore you or do some of these other things. And we're so ready to jump to those conclusions a lot of times in this society instead of stepping back and saying, wow, there's something going on with that person. I wonder what I can do to make their life easier at this moment. Or I wonder what I can do to raise that chi up in that situation. Because we do. We get these distractions of, well, they don't want to talk to me. They don't want this. And we have to bring it back around and say, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? What's happening there? And like you say, being willing to pose those questions and go, okay, here's where we're at, and own those emotions. When you're in that bad space, own it, and then say, okay, what am I going to do about it? Do I want to stay here, or do I want to change it?
Right, and that's what I think the questions are more to be asked of ourselves, so that if I notice that I'm responding to something and I haven't asked the other person, what did you mean by that? Then I have to ask myself, why am I responding the way I am to this? So, Kevin, I'm watching Kevin's conversation. Everybody's in on the conversation with Kevin here on the chat line. And, Kevin, I understand the situation where families are the biggest shoulders, the biggest should dumpers of all are our families. And that's because we grew up inside of their world. Our parents created their world, their way. Doesn't mean that it had anything to do with anybody else's world. Within the walls of our family home, that was a particular world. When we leave that environment and we go out into the world and we meet other people and we find out that there are other worlds, so to speak, we start to develop ourselves. We become more and more aware of what works for us, what doesn't work for us, who we truly are. And as we develop, it can be very uncomfortable for our families because they knew us in a particular way. They also knew us at a time when they could control us, right? Makes sense. That was their job, was to protect us, to teach us their values and all of that. But once we leave their homes, once we're out in the world, once we're over the age of 18 here in this country, the U.S., we're our own person. And they're going to feel uncomfortable. Many people feel uncomfortable as they watch their children grow into themselves. And they're going to do their best to let us know that they think what we're doing is wrong, because it's not their way. But that doesn't mean it's wrong. And this is where our ability to recognize what's theirs versus what's ours is important. And so you make the comment that there's never end to the shoulds. Kevin, you're right. There probably never will be from their point of view. They're going to feel like you should be doing things in the way that they did it because that's how they raised you. But that doesn't mean that that's you. And I hope that makes sense to you, Kevin, and to other people as well.
I think that brought a lot of clarity into that situation. Stacey, I've got a caller with a question on the line here. And I'm going to go ahead and bring them on. This person's from 818 area code. Did you have a question for Stacey tonight?
Well, I wanted to know what she felt about a person, well, like myself, that gets drawn into other people's energy.
Are you an energy healer, or do you just feel other people's energy and you allow yourself
energy
to get sucked in?
I get sucked in. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
right.
getting better
well,
at it, but, yeah, I see what I want to see, not always what's there.
Right, exactly. What most likely, you tend on your own left to your own devices. You're probably a very positive person and have a high vibration. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so what's happening is people who are lower energy are attracted to your light, and in your space, you can see their potential, okay, because of the vibration level where you're at. But when they leave, they can't sustain that on their own. Is that correct?
I get it's not just that. I'm drawn also because I have this charmer magnetic. I'm realizing that some of the people I bring into my life want to use that being for their purposes. Manipulators,
bear with me.
It's like, yeah.
Bear with me for one moment. Just let me just ask you. Do a lot of the people that when they leave you, they're not able to sustain their, that, okay. I'm going where you want me to go. I'm just going to take you, ask me a question, and I'm helping you understand the process.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So what you're doing, number one, is you're seeing them at their highest potential. In your space, they are, you're in a lot of ways, you're lowering your own energy in order to meet them where they are. It's not their energy that's depleting you. It's your choosing to lower your energy to meet them. It takes a toll when we do that.
Drains me, especially being an energy vampire. But I don't realize. So I'm not. I don't realize that I'm being. I have a. I'm choosing to do it.
Right.
Do you understand that? What you're saying makes sense.
Yes. But I'm saying,
I don't have control
you, you
over.
Know it now. You
mm-hmm.
didn't know. You kept calling them energy vampires. They're not energy vampires. They're just at a low vibration. You are diminishing your own energy in order to interact with them. And this is what a lot of healers do. People who are healers or set out to be of service to others think that is their job, to lower their energy. And this is where a lot of shitting comes in, okay? Oh, I should take care of this person. They're so sick. Well, let's remember, they didn't get sick overnight, okay? People who are very needy did not get sick overnight. It was a pattern. Am I saying leave them to themselves? No. But what I'm saying is be conscious when you're working with people like that, that you continue to keep your vibration high. It's your job to remember to eat properly, get plenty of rest, and keep positive thinking around us for those short periods of time when we're going to interact with people whose energy is very low.
It's interesting you said energy is at low, because the thing is that the last person that I was involved with, I call him, you know, the psychic vampire, whatever it is, he didn't like my high energy, what you're saying. He wanted me to sit still and do quiet my mind, that was one, and meditation. And I didn't realize it. And also when someone takes your hand, I felt my energy being released higher. You understand what I'm saying? But I
not that last part. I didn't understand the last part. Please explain it a little more.
Okay, someone will take your hand, and I felt my energy. I felt, you never felt that where your energy's released. You're it's coming out of you. It's being raised to the other person. I also
When I touched my husband's hands, there's
mm-hmm.
a fabulous exchange of energy. But nobody can take energy that I don't want to give. You're just allowing, you're seeing yourself as a victim. Honestly, that would be where I would come from, is you see yourself as being vulnerable. The difference is I don't see myself as vulnerable. I see myself as in my power. I see myself as always protected. And I trust that
protective
energy.
Uh-huh. Never was protected. I didn't have awareness in those days, or boundaries, or understand intuition. So when someone would say, give you your hand, you know, you're sitting in a position, and I would exchange hands, I didn't understand what was taking place. Now I do what you're saying. It's making sense to me. And my friend who's in my life now, I actually feel him giving me energy, which
is amazing. You're at the same vibration.
Exchanging. That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
So you have to, since you are so sensitive to energy, very important to be aware when you're around people. You can feel it. You can feel it instantly. You know whether something feels good or whether something doesn't feel so good. And if it doesn't feel so good, you put a little protective energy around you and just remember, I am protected. I am at a high vibration. They cannot lower me unless I choose to be lowered.
Mm-hmm. And I walk away now if I don't feel right. It does, because what happens is the mind takes over, and you get one warning. I remember each time that I didn't feel right, and yet I stayed in that circumstance, and my mind was drawn into it, and the whole time I felt uneasy, and I didn't get it. I was going against my own being. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's kind of complicated, yes?
Exactly. And what I would say is bless the experience,
yes,
because it was your learning experience. You now know the difference.
Uh-huh. That's
you now
right.
know the difference. And that's why I'm saying there is no such thing as an energy vampire. Even there are people who want what we have,
yes,
because they don't know how to tap into their own, but they can't take it from us unless we give it, okay? And what I say is stay in our own power, be aware of that we have it, that we're strong, and offer them ways that they can be in their own power instead of giving them us.
I see what you're saying. At the time, everything was twisted. I felt that person was strong, and I reached out for that person because I thought that person knew the answers. I have to do is the answers are within me, and don't reach out to others. Because when you do it, is that giving your power away?
Exactly, and please forgive me for saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying it a little bit tongue-in-cheek. It's also when you thought that he had more than you,
yes,
you were being the energy vampire. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh.
Okay,
I see.
Two people understand that they both can tap into the same divine energy, and that, okay, I'm going to back up for a second.
But he drained me. I couldn't even move. So that's
Okay. Well, I'm talking about in the kinds of relationships that feel good to us, that
uh-huh.
are healthy. What's
mm-hmm.
happening is both parties trust their own intuition. Does that make sense? Both parties.
Now I do. Now it makes sense. For the first time, I'm in a healthy relationship where this person says, "Trust yourself." And yes, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's acquired knowledge. I have some acquired knowledge that you don't have and vice versa, right?
Yes.
So if I know that I can trust myself, that I have faith in myself, that I believe in myself and in my ability to know truth, and you have that same experience, when we come together to engage in conversation like we're doing now,
mm-hmm.
it's an equal exchange.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And we all have had those experiences, so we know what they are, and we also know when we've had the other kind.
Yes. And yes, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. It does.
Good. I'm so glad. Thank
you. I'm like we're at a higher plane. You have telepathy, too, I can tell. But we're at a higher plane, so sometimes it's hard for me to verbalize it. And that's what came out of the other relationship. I'm learning to verbalize. And this relationship I'm in now, he's kind of getting me to verbalize. Because if you go through something, a change in your life, and all of a sudden these things come to you, visualization and telepathy and all of it, I'm realizing that I'm sabotaging myself sometimes because I see something that I want in my telepathy, and when it doesn't come out instantly or when it's supposed to come out what I feel, with this relationship, I avoid him because I was disappointed that it didn't come out right. Are you understand what I'm saying? And if I would have picked
up
the phone.
I do, and what I'm going to do is, because we're going to have to wrap up here shortly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going
to
offer
talk
you
so
a
much.
Tool. No, that's all right. I'm just noticing the time. I want to give you a tool and a tool that other people can use as well. And this is
great.
The fastest way. Actually, I'll give you two. Together, these two tools are the fastest way to ensure that we are at the highest vibration we can be in any given moment. One is to speak to ourselves, I am. I am.
Mm-hmm.
When we speak that, we automatically tap in to the best part of ourselves. And that is, so if we start to feel ourselves waning or our energy slipping, Say, I am, I am, I am. And so I'm going to invite you to say that. Now, if you're still on the, is Jessiana, she's still on the
yep,
line?
I am. Okay.
Okay, say three times. I am.
I am, I am, I am.
Now, I'm just going to ask you, do you feel any different as a result of saying it?
Oh, a little uneasy because of one thing. The person that I was involved with kept on making me say, I am, he is. I mean, I am and...
Okay, I'm just asking, I get that you have an association that you're probably going to have to clear. But
yes.
I'm going to say to you that if you do some research on your own on the importance of the I am statement,
mm-hmm.
you'll release his attachment to it and you'll understand it for yourself.
Okay.
The other is before going to bed every night, as one is falling asleep, it's extremely important to acknowledge ourselves. And the reason I say that is because we don't do that. Most people were taught not to brag and to
mm-hmm.
be modest. But telling ourselves that we're proud of ourselves is not bragging. We're not saying it to anyone else. We're saying it to ourselves. So instead of going through a litany of what we didn't do right during the day, which is what
yeah.
most people do,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying we replace that as we fall asleep with, I acknowledge myself for. So today I will acknowledge myself for being willing to be vulnerable in the conversation that I had with this person. And I acknowledge myself for being on this radio show and having fun with chatting with you. And I acknowledge myself for having a healthy lunch and a healthy dinner that supported my body, and I'm acknowledging myself on the, I took some saliva tests to check my hormone balances and my adrenals, and I am fully back and well, and I'm acknowledging myself for doing what it took to make those tests come out the way they did. Do you understand what I'm saying about?
Yes. Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, if you start to get in the habit of saying, I acknowledge myself for, to yourself, you'll begin to be strong in your own self.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take very long at all.
And you know what,
so
I
that's
also
what I'd like to offer to you tonight.
Thank you. And what I also realize, it doesn't matter where you learn the lessons from, even if it was twisted, whatever way, I understand now what you're saying I am. I'm going to let go of who taught me before, but because it didn't make sense at the time when I was just repeating, but what you said tonight, it somehow registered what you were saying, the examples.
Yeah, it's an ancient, ancient connection to our highest self. And there is much written about the I am statement.
So
and it all
connection.
Shapes the reality. So the other is you can put anything you want after I am. So whatever it is you intend to be. So for me, I intend for Chi to be on the New York Times bestselling list at the top. So I will often say, I am a number one New York Times bestselling author. I am a doctor of natural therapies. I am peaceful in this moment. It's a creation statement.
Oh, okay. Then, like, when I vision or I manifestate, when I see my visions or what, it's like it already. I'm seeing it like it's already happened. When I wake up, I think it already happened. Because you understand, it's like something
yes.
like that. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
But you're picturing it what it already happened in your mind.
Well,
right.
I'm picturing it, but I'm also saying it
to
start bringing it into existence so that
mm-hmm.
the cells of my body
mm-hmm.
start to resonate with the vibration of that experience. And when the cells of my body can vibrate with that energy, I'm starting to actually physically manifest it. and moving closer towards it. So I encourage you, if you like what I've had to share, I hope that you will buy Chi to Be, Achieving Your Ultimate Be-All. You can find it on Amazon or on my website at chi2be.com, and I go into a lot of explanation about all of this.
Well, I thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your questions.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. And, Stacey, I know your time is running out, and I want to respect that of what you have, and you've just been sharing a wealth of information, and I know there's so much more that we could be getting to tonight regarding your program, if we had that time for you, or I should say if you had that time for us. And what we'll do is we'll continue to carry some of these concepts on after we come back from a break. But I do want to remind people Stacey's website is www.chi-2-b.com. And Stacey, I know you've got amazing things on there. Your events are listed on there. You've got some freebies. You've got a freebie tab listed on there. I know in your book you offer a bonus for people that have bought the book. And I don't know, I'm going to let you cover anything else that you want to make sure you get plugged in there.
All right. Well, yes, the first freebie that I invite everybody to receive is to go to Chi, and again, it's chi-to-be.com/blog. I do a weekly blog that I call the Weekly Chi Lift, which goes into more ways of being able to keep our energy high based upon real-life situations that I or my clients have experienced and that I know that other people experience as well. Then there's a tab for freebies where you can access many different teleprograms that I've offered in the past and listen to them at your convenience, where, again, I go into different aspects of the energy surges and give you more insights at no charge. So that's all free. There's a book tab where you can purchase the book or the audio program, because I have a 6-hour audio series and a guided journal. So all of that is there as well. I currently have a coaching club, and I want to acknowledge Shannon and Tammy, who are on the call, who are both in the coaching club already. And I'm going to bring that up, Jessie-Ann, because that the price is going to go up big time on March 1st. The end of the introductory pricing is going to come on February 28th. So for right now, for $37 a month, anyone who's in the coaching club receives a 1-hour study session online with me once a month. So we gather and we take a chapter from Chi to Be and we delve into it in depth. You also get a 1-hour group coaching session with me and the Chi Masters, people who have really been in depth mastering the energy surges in the book. And so you're get access into the group coaching call, and you get a 30-minute private coaching session with me each month. And my private sessions are $250 an hour. So you can see that for a 30-minute session, that would normally be $125 per month. So for $37 a month, you get all three of those calls plus other privileges and bonuses programs. And if anybody is interested in participating in that program, I'd love for you to send an email to Stacey, Stacey, that's Stacey, at chi-to-be.com, Stacey at chi-to-be.com. Put coaching club in the subject line. And I will respond to you by Monday, because it's going into the weekend, and I've got a couple of classes I'm teaching this weekend. But I will respond to you by Monday and give you the full details of how to enroll in our it's for a year's commitment, a 12-month coaching program at $37 a month, where you can really learn how to master the energy surges with me and the other Chi Masters. So thank you, Jesse Ann, very much for this opportunity. It's been a joy. I'm really thrilled that Tammy and Shannon and other people I know are here on the call. It's been lovely to be with all of you. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for taking your time to be with us here tonight. And like I said, when we come back from, we're going to take a short little break here. When we come back, we will continue discussing some of these points that have been brought up by Stacy, and I will also cover some of the things that we normally cover at the beginning of the show when we come back as well. So thank you again so much, Stacy. We're going to take a short break here. I've got for you a song that is called Dia Harmonies. It's by Claire Hedin. And if you find you like Claire's music, you can follow up with more of her music and what she's doing at clarehedin.com. That's clarehedin.com. Thanks again so much, Stacy.
Thank you. Take care.
Oh, dear, dear little light, shine forth thy beauty. You came, you went, 'twas brief and rare. We love you, and we love you. So thank you, yes, thank you. We thank you, oh, so deeply. And thank you, yes, thank you. We thank you for your visit. We know your time with us was brief, but still 'twas time well valued. You have a place in hearts and minds down here on earthly fallows. Your light will shine and dust you will upon the skies of spirit. We learn, we love, we touch, we part, we feel the circle's healing. So thank you, yes, thank you. We thank you, oh, so deeply. And thank you, yes, thank you. We thank you for your visit. Oh, dear, dear little light, shine forth thy beauty. You came, you went, 'twas brief and rare. We loved you and we love you. So thank you, yes, thank you, dear, dear, sweet in spirit. And thank you, yes, thank you, we thank you for your visit.
And I want to welcome you back to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jesse Ann Nichols George. If you're just tuning in with us, we have had Stacy Hall on during the first part of our show. So if you missed any part of that show, I do encourage that you go back and listen to the rest of the show in the archives. You can certainly do that right here at the same link that you used to get into the show. The song we were just listening to during the break there is done by Claire Hedin, and it's called Dia Harmonies. We actually did a show with Claire back at the last week of December, so if you enjoy that music, it was a beautiful interview with many of her songs on there. I do encourage going back and listening to the archives there on that one as well. And you can also find out more about her work at clarehedin.com, and that's clarehedin.com. And we really do thank Stacy for being here. She was bringing up many wonderful points with her Chi to Be program. And there were a couple of interesting points that she was discussing that I think warrant even a little further discussion on. And that was with our last caller, where she was talking about the I am statement. And you've seen me work with this, like in my Genesis clearing statement and with some of the affirmations. And what she's talking about is being in that present state. We use the I am because if we're living in that future area, those things haven't existed yet. If we're living in our past, then we're living in a time that's already over and done with. So what we really have is that current moment, the I am moment. It's the present space. And when we say I am, what we're doing is we're tuning into our creative self. We're also tuning into an aspect of something already existing in our life. And when we realize that it already exists in our life, even though we might not be able to visibly see it right away, is then we're tuning into that vibration for it to continue to expand where it can become visible in our life. It's also acquainting us with that familiarity that it does exist. So the more familiar we become with the fact that it does exist in our life already, then the more we can grow with that, the more that we can expand it and, like I said, develop it into where we can see it. So we already do have this, and part of that is because we are connected with the whole. We are connected with that creative force of the universe that is all and everything. And when we connect with that, because we are connected with that, we already have everything. Everything that we're looking for, everything that we're seeking, everything that we're hoping to create. In essence, we already are that. We just have to uncover it, and we just have to tune in and become it on this physical level. So it's a very, very powerful aspect there when we're working with those I am statements, I am this, I am that. And the more that we say it, like, I am successful, I am in demand, I am growing into myself, I am releasing myself from other people's judgments. That was another topic we were talking about a lot. And as we do that, I am releasing this, the energy actually starts making that happen because the universe sees it as, oh, it already exists. So I'm going to support that and I'm going to continue that process. It gets us to that point of knowing. It's kind of like a state of confidence and knowing that this exists within us, knowing that it is a part of our life already. So very, very powerful. And as she says, this goes way, way back. There's a huge amount of history on that I am space and being in that space. And another point that Stacy brought up that I thought was really valuable, and again, you're welcome to call in at any time and give your input on this or share your thoughts on this. And the lines that you can call in on 760-542-4345, you just press 1, and that will let me know that you've got a question or you want to input something. But she brought up another really great point about being in the victim space and how sometimes we think somebody's being this energy vampire, as our caller had put it, and we start blaming them, and we start saying they're taking our energy. But in reality, what we're doing is we're putting ourselves in a victim space, and that's something that she had started to touch on. And by saying, they're doing this to me, they're doing that to me, when we put that blame on other people, it places us as a victim. It's saying, I'm a victim, I need attention, I need this, I need that. And what we want to look at and say is, I don't have to be in that space. I've got a choice. I can step out of that space. They don't have to take my energy. They don't have to do this to me. That may be their choice, but I'm going to choose to operate at a different vibrational level. And I'm going to give them a different choice, which is to stay where they're at, or maybe they want to come to the same vibrational level that I'm at that isn't in that victim space, that isn't draining for either one of us. So I think a lot of times that's a great thing for us to look at in our life, because we oftentimes fall into this victim space without even realizing it. And that is a really, really powerful thing to keep in mind. And yes, I see Tamara in there mentioning to go to Stacy's website. She does. She has a lot of things there on her website, a lot of things that she can tune into. She's got things going on Facebook that is a Chi to Be on Facebook, which you can look up as well and become involved with that, and people regularly have discussions going on there. She also has meetups that are going on along the way in different areas, which is on her website. You can find out where those are going on, as well as her workshops and other things that she's doing. So lots and lots of things there that she brought up, some really, really valuable, important points. And she also mentioned doing acknowledgement work when falling asleep. And this is something that also Dina Bouvet touched on earlier this year when I had her on my show. And the reason for doing things when we're falling asleep, and again, when we're waking up early in the morning, is because our mind is so receptive to the thoughts that we're putting in. It really can set the tone for our day. It really can help us release things or let go of things, or to remind ourselves how much we have done, and to take that time to acknowledge these are the accomplishments you've made. And oftentimes we go through the day and we're stressed out by something, and then we try to lay down and we try to go to sleep at night, and we're not taking that time to stop to say, oh, yeah, great, kudos. I acknowledge myself for making this adaptation. I acknowledge myself for being able to pull something together last minute. I acknowledge myself for getting some last-minute information on an event I'm doing tomorrow and being able to pull together what I need on a moment's notice. I acknowledge myself for trusting what is coming into my life and the process things are taking, and it's okay even if it's delays. So lots of different aspects. Somebody also started to bring up factors of learning from the challenges in our lives, and I was excited to hear that come up as well, because I was actually working with a client earlier today, and when I was working with that client, one of the things that came up, as well as some discussions I've had going on in LinkedIn with people, is to learn how to learn from the so-called what we view negative experiences in our life, or the challenges in our life. So when you have somebody in your life, for example, and they're not what you want, you're frustrated by the situation, or you're in a work situation that you don't want to be in, and you don't always know what direction do I take or where do I go next, but you can look at that situation, and instead of being angry or frustrated with it, just like instead of being angry or frustrated with somebody you feel is draining your energy out, you want to shift that and say, I really appreciate this person for showing me more about where I'm headed and what I want in my life. Because even if they're showing you something you don't want in your life, at the same time, they're also showing you what you do want. Because you know, I don't want this, so now I'm another step closer to what I do want. I'm another step closer to where I'm headed. I've got a clearer idea of where I'm headed. So being able to take those challenging people and situations in our life and say, thank you for showing me and giving me more clarity on what I really want. And this is an interesting situation. Kevin was talking about his dynamics with his family and the guilt that comes on of should do this and should do that, and how that keeps coming up in his life. And I think when we look at his example there, being able to take that situation and realize, thank you for showing me how many times we place this guilt on people, or how many times we place these pressures on people, and now I'm going to be more aware not to do that with other people. Now I'm going to be more aware that I'm not taking my personal power, and I need to step up and I need to take my personal power and say, I respect your opinions. I can respect your views. However, I do not feel guilty, and I am not going to feel guilty because I know where my relationship is. I know where I need to be in this situation, and I'm okay with it because I've had my communications with that person, or I put my love out there, and I've done what I can in any given moment. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We might do things along the way that we would like to change or do differently, but we're always doing the best we can in any given moment. And if we keep that in mind, then we realize, given our set of resources at a moment, given our frame of mind, given what we are dealing with at a given moment, we're always doing the best we can. And so there's no reason to get hard on ourselves or fall into those judgments of others of what they think we should be doing. They don't always have all the pieces to the puzzle, just like when we make those judgments on other people, we don't always have all of the information to realize why they're doing or not doing something that we think they should or shouldn't be doing. So we have to kind of put it out there and let them learn and let them have their opinions, and we have to stand our grounds and say, I'm okay. I'm okay in my space, and I'm okay with the decision I made. And it's between me and this other person, or it's between me and myself, really, when we look at that. So I do want to touch on a couple of other things here as we go through. As a lot of you know, I deal with a couple of things every week, and I did want to bring up just some insights as well in regards to chi and the aspects of chi. And chi energy, as Stacy was talking about earlier tonight, it fits in with compassion really well, because the better our chi is flowing, the easier it is to be compassionate. So it's a way of not only being compassionate with others, but also being compassionate with ourselves. Because as we raise that chi, as we build the chi up in us, and as we're working with that chi energy and we have it clear and we have it flowing within us, then what we can do is we can open up and we're raising our vibration. As we raise that vibrational level, we're able to stay in that space of compassion. When we're in that space of compassion, we're not worrying about the fears. We're staying away from those judgments. We are in the flow. So things can naturally come to us. Things can move a little easier into our life. It makes it easier to release things because we're not living in that attachment of the lower vibrations. And that's something else that we tend to do. We get attached to other people's opinions. That falls in with that guilt factor that we talked about earlier. And it's interesting because so many times we think about chi in our external surroundings, and we don't always stop and think about the chi that is the internal or the personal chi. And when I think of this, and Stacy touched on this earlier as well, that it's kind of like your inner feng shui, okay? That personal chi is like your inner feng shui. So when everything's aligned, everything can move, everything can flow, everything can happen in your life. And that helps us flow better with our outer influences. So the more we get our chi on the inner chi going, the better our outer worlds become as well. So think about it. When you've got somebody that's very in the flow and they're not worried about stuff, you're not dealing with all of those shoulds, haves, could-haves, would-haves, need-tos. All of those things just kind of fall away. And I feel like a lot of times it's easier for us to notice when our outer chi is off, because it's right there in our face. We look around, we see the clutter, we see the different things that aren't flowing, we see the areas that feel uncomfortable. But when our inner chi is off, a lot of times it's almost like we have to hit a crisis before we'll wake up and pay attention to it. So the key is learning to maintain that chi, just kind of like a daily practice, just like we eat every day, just like learning to eat well every day or taking a walk or exercising every day, learning those little techniques like Stacy mentioned, the I am techniques and the acknowledgement techniques, using those types of things to help keep our chi flowing every day It's a very important thing. When that inner chi gets off again, we tend to notice it because we'll start getting feelings of stress, panic, anxiety. This will cascade into physical issues. Physically, people might start noticing symptoms like feeling tired, lethargic. You might start seeking out comfort food, and then that perpetuates a cycle of low energy as well. Okay? So emotionally or mentally, there may be feelings of hopelessness, fear, worry, things like that, and we start feeling uninspired. These are all signs that our chi is needing help. It's needing assistance. It's needing us to pay attention to it, that we're needing to take time for that inner self. And it seems to me that we're going to need to start paying more attention to that, especially with the way our society has been going, the tension that we have with people. And it's always an important part, not only to us, but to our relationships. It affects how we flow and how we interact with other people in the world around us. It's an important part of helping us move into a life that we love and that we enjoy. And in times of major change and insecurity in the outer world, it's even more important for us to find that inner harmony, that inner balance, that peace, and that energy within us, which tonight we've termed as chi. So some questions to kind of think about with chi as you're going into your week and you're thinking about how you want to work with your chi and how you want to develop it is, what are you doing to feed your personal chi? Ask yourself, how does keeping your inner chi up affect your outer world? And how does feeding your inner chi affect your interactions with others? So this is kind of a good thing to just kind of play with during the week, to take a look at during the week, and to see how it does have an impact for you and for your life and how it impacts your relationships with other people. So I think that those are some very, very important key points there. And then I also do want to take some time tonight. Most of you know I usually cover a little something from Yehuda Berg, which is from his book, The 72 Names of God, and I like to pull a message for us for a week. And tonight it's so important because we are February 22nd, and this is a very powerful time of noticing that when we get the twos coming up right now, that it is a key that we are receiving help and we are receiving assistance and we are receiving blessings, and that everything is happening. It is in motion. It is working. It is coming together for us. So when you get those two combination vibrations like that, it's affirming to us that everything is working out in our life. And that's a great reassurance. I'm really happy to be doing a show on a 222 vibration. So it's a real blessing here. Now, what I do with Yehuda Berg's work is every week I randomly open up this book that he has, and he is a well-versed Kabbalah master, and he teaches a lot of courses in Kabbalah. And he's taken and put aspects of God into everyday language for us and brought it around to a place that makes it tangible that we can put into our everyday life. And I randomly open up to get a message here. And tonight I've got a message which fits in perfect with our theme, of course, of chi. And the message or the name of God we're working with for this upcoming week is casting yourself in a favorable light. Okay? And the word or the phrase that he has with this is, with all of our mischievous misdeeds and rotten character traits, it is in our best interests when others see only the good side of our soul. In the language of filmmaking, this meditation is the ultimate lighting effect. And as he goes on to provide insight about this, he says, revealing our negative side attracts the evil eye. We become a magnet for the scorn of people around us. We invite their judgment into our lives, and all that destructive energy quickly begins to wreak havoc. When we give people reason to focus on our good side, we avoid their negative influences and all the harmful side effects they can bring. Moreover, as we make the effort to look beyond the imperfections of others, we magnify the power of this name tenfold. And I think that this is a really interesting thing because it does fit in. It does fit in with that vibrational energy where we were talking about the megahertz earlier. Stacy was bringing that up and how we vibrate at these different energy levels. And so when we're vibrating at those lower levels or those lower energy vibrations, we're attracting the negative to us because that's what's going to be drawn to it. Those higher vibrations, those higher frequency rates, when we vibrate there, they're not drawn. They're not drawn down into that negativity. They're not drawn into those judgments. So that's where that fits into what we've been discussing tonight. And the meditation that's shared in this aspect here is your own being is lit beautifully, suffused with the Creator's radiance, so everyone around you sees the positive, beautiful aspects of yourself, as opposed to the distorted and dark image projected by the ego. So it's very, very aspect here of being infused, meditating to where you're infused with the Creator's radiance so that everybody around you can see that. Okay, let it shine, let it be bright, let everybody be able to see that for you. And the way that this name is pronounced, casting yourself in a favorable light, it is the name of God. And the way it's pronounced is Mem Chut Yud. And if you like these things, I also have this on my website. I recently have updated and put together a new website, which is located at www.jessieannnicholsgeorge1, that's the number one, .com, and that's at the bottom of the show description there. And I go in every week and I update under the Main Street Universe my page on there, and I put in here what the name of God is for the week, and you can go in and look at that. It's also where you can find the links to archived shows and also where you can take a look at the upcoming shows that we have coming up in following weeks. So that is another big aspect there. So that's Yehuda's message for tonight, and that's been a real blessing to take a look at that. Again, we have been discussing the principles of Chi to Be tonight. Stacy Hall was our guest earlier in the show. If you missed any part of it, I do encourage you to go back and look into the archives for that there. And we really appreciate Stacy taking her time for that. She's got a fantastic program, lots of things there on her website to go over. And definitely anybody who's got any questions, feel free to, or comments or input, type it in, or if you want to call in, we still have a little bit of time here on the show. If you have any comments you want to make, the call-in number is 760-542-4345. And just to highlight a couple of other points on things, again, you can, you know, if you've been enjoying the show tonight, make sure you take time to share it with other people. You know, share it on Facebook, family, friends. There's so much good information that we have going on here every week, and I'm so blessed to be having these amazing guests week after week after week coming on with a variety of different topics that I'm delving into. And next week, for example, I have Laura Bedford coming on my show. Laura is the author of The Mix-Up, and she is an inner light speaker and vibrational healer. And we're going to be looking at feeling the light, releasing fears, inner knowing, and peace. So we're going to have some amazing things going on with her work. It's really, really interesting what she's doing with how she's releasing things and how she's working from a vibrational level with that. And she's only one of several speakers that I have coming up in the upcoming week. And I'm going to just share with you a couple of the others because it really is an amazing lineup, and we do have this little bit of time here where I can do that tonight. The last couple of weeks I've been rushing off of the show, but this is really amazing. And then the week after, and it's coming right up here for me, so hang in there with me. After Laura, I have coming up, Dr. Robert Newton. He's coming up on March 8th, and he's going to be discussing the influences of theta brainwaves, and we're going to be looking at how that can function kind of as a sort of fountain of youth in our life. He deals with how that theta brainwave can restructure our DNA and how it can create healing in the body. I've also got coming up the week after him, Dr. Margaret Rogers Van Koops, and she's going to be talking about soul coding, the different personalities that we deal with on a soul level, and we're going to be discussing her book, which is titled The Rejection Syndrome, and all about different aspects of rejection that we deal with and how that comes up in our life. And on March 22nd, I'm so blessed, I've got Thomas Christian Wolfe coming on, and he is the creator of a huge project that is in the works called the Messengers Event, and that is going to be an amazing thing to learn about. It's a multimedia traveling show that's going to be going on, and it's just absolutely fascinating, so you won't want to miss some of the things coming up in upcoming weeks. Also, I am putting together the 2013 Compassion Tour, and if you want to stay on top of what's happening with that as the events start coming up with that, you can do so by going to jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. That's going to be where I post a lot of the events as they come up and I make them available. I'm going to be doing on that tour, for those of you that aren't familiar with the Compassion Tour, it's a multi-state tour. I'm hoping to branch into Canada this year with that. I do workshops, I do seminars, I do retreats. I do book signings on the tour. I do fundraisers. On the fundraisers, 90% of the money brought in goes to the organization, so that's a huge thing as well. I also want to mention that as a listener here on this show of Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I am offering currently during the month of February 50% off of half-day and full-day coaching and energy alignment sessions through the end of this month. You can simply email me at jessie@jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com to get more information on that. You can just contact me by the end of the month for that work, and that's going to be available. Also on the website, there will be monthly events posted there. There are YouTube videos on there. I'm getting ready to create another one coming up as well, so that's going to be another option. And another special that I have running for the listeners of the show right now is you can get free ebook versions of my books, Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, or not in the Midnight Hour, but Activating Compassion, the workbook. So both of those books, you can get the free ebook versions of those simply by emailing me as well. And I've got somebody in the caller queue here with a question, so I'm going to bring them on the air. And 714 area code, you're on the air.
Hey, Jesse, it's Dr. Newton.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fantastic. Really enjoyed the show tonight. And I think that I would like to also, I enjoyed very much what Stacy said, and I agree with everything. And I would actually like to add some things to that, too, as well as talk about theta brain levels and also about how we negatively and positively can program our mind, how we can eliminate the negative programs and the way that we unwittingly negatively program them and how we can get rid of that stuff through really quick exercise or techniques that allow you to remove that stuff that doesn't work well in your life.
And I want to remind people, Dr. Newton, who's calling in, is going to be my guest coming up in 2 weeks. So this is great. He's calling in and giving you a little taste of what's to come. I appreciate that.
It's really important also, this idea. By the way, I love the 72 names of God, and I want to talk a lot about that too. So ask me a lot of questions on that because there's a lot in my book, but there's a lot I'll just share with people on the air because my goal is not fame or anything, but literally being able to get people functioning optimally, which is not only possible, it's their birthright. So I'm kind of fanatic about that. But the point about that you're basically giving your power away, there's an interesting thing by the builders of the Adytum that was started by Dr. Paul Foster Case, who was a very high-level Rosicrucian and was probably an avatar. He knew a lot of stuff. And he wrote this about 11-point treatise called The Pattern on the Trestle Board. And the sixth point says, I recognize the manifestation of undeviating justice in all the affairs of my life. So basically what that's saying is that you're getting what you create. And if you don't like what you've created, then you're going to have to change it.
Absolutely. And this comes back to reminding people that we always have that power. We're not a victim. We don't need to be in the victim space. And that the words are exactly that. If you don't like what's happening in your life, change it. And that's not going to come from a passive space. You can't just sit back and go, oh, I don't have any money and I hope it drops into my life. If you don't like the fact that you don't have money or you don't have a relationship or you don't like where you're working, take the steps and go, okay, where do I want to be? What type of relationship do I want to be in? And what are the steps I need to take to get there? And start doing it.
Now, the part about the prosperity is really interesting because one of the very powerful names of God is Samish Aleph Lama, the power of prosperity. And that's a really powerful way. You know, when I first started studying these 72 names of God, I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. I don't know if it's really going to work. And then all of a sudden I started seeing little miracles happening in my life. And then I started seeing big miracles in my life. And the little miracles were enough to convince me it was good. But when I started seeing the big things change and manifesting, you know, I knew that this was something really powerful, and I would contend that of all the things in the Bible and the Torah, this is the jewel that's hidden within, because it's not really delineated in the Christian Bible there in Exodus 14 verses 19 to 21, but I'm pretty sure it is in the Torah. Mm. So I would recommend that people get a hold of a copy of this. I forget the source that you gave from them. I've gotten my information from the Kabbalah Center in Los Angeles. And it doesn't really matter where you get it. It's still the 72 names of God. But it's a really, really powerful source. And I'm going to be talking in 2 weeks about some patterns, some incredible patterns I've seen in these 72 names of God by going backwards through the 72 names and working up to the first line, which is basically a formula of mental healing for the body. So to me, I couldn't say enough good things about this. I study it every day. I say the names, and I also see them also. And doing those two things in conjunction adds a lot of power to it. I don't know if you tried that or not, but it makes a big difference.
I have sat and worked with it day in, day out, throughout the time I've had this book since I found it. I was actually really funny. I have a friend that likes to go into a lot of thrift shops, and I was in this thrift shop, what we call DI or DI Deseret Industries here in Utah, and I happened to walk in and find it. So I picked this book up for like a buck or 50 cents or something like that, maybe two. But I was just really fortunate. I was just sitting on the shelf, and it just popped out to me, and I was like, okay, this is mine. But I love it because it doesn't matter. I've studied so many different things along the way and looked at a lot of different practices and belief systems, and I love it because no matter how much knowledge you have and how many times you go through this book, you're always getting another layer to the piece of information.
I agree. I agree. You'll see things every time.
I could probably read the same thing, the same page, day after day after day after day, and still get another understanding of it.
But actually, that's a good sign, because what that shows you is that you're evolving, and as you evolve, you take in more background information that allows you to perceive things that you couldn't a day or two ago, or a week or so ago, or a month or so ago. So it's, you know, it's a continual process. You can never just say, "Well, I've learned it and that's it." I never cease to amaze when I go into the Keys of Enoch by Dr. Hertak, how I just see these incredible insights. And I started reading that book in probably about 85 or 86. And I'll see this insight and I go, how the hell did I miss that? I mean, it was right there in front of my face, but I didn't understand hardly as many implications that were really involved, as many layers that were involved. So, you know, I think you're like me. You're just constantly on a quest to, you know, find more understanding.
Well, I think it's never ending. And I think where I work with people and I'm helping them through things, that I'm always grabbing that next piece. And I'm always taking it to another aspect of, just like, you know, learning about these different areas of victim spaces. And it's, somebody can say something that's like, yeah, I knew that, but it just triggered another level of it for me. Like, you know, how many times do we step into that space and we just don't even get that we're there. We're blaming somebody else and we don't even realize we're blaming them. And it's,
yeah, I agree. So I have a saying, and it's something like this: the creator is constantly evolving and learning, and so we must likewise, or we'll be left in the dust. And I don't like being left in the dust. I'd rather be on the cutting edge, on the front. I'd rather be in front of the dust than eating it, because I've eaten a lot of dust riding dirt motorcycles behind my son, and it's not an enjoyable experience.
That's true. You either got to be far enough back that you're out of the dust, or you've got to be ahead of the dust.
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, that's a great analogy with it. It's absolutely wonderful. Yeah, I noticed that on your website when I was on there the other day, and I was putting together some stuff for your upcoming show, and I was looking on there going, oh, my gosh, he's just totally into the 72 names of God. And I go, are going to have much fun with this.
Well, I said the same thing. I'm going, well, now I know. I already knew intuitively that Jesse was dialed in. But then when you mention 72 names of God, you know, I don't think it can unaffect someone unless they don't study them. The amazing thing to me is that the woman that shared this with me, and she also shared the pattern on the trestle board, the Paul Foster Case stuff, and the Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus, which is something I think I'll talk about on the show if we have enough time. You know, she's never ever studied this stuff and really never taken it in. When she gave it to me, I'm just going, wow, this is really powerful stuff. I'm going to study it for the rest of my life. And it's worthwhile doing, because like you say, every time you look at these things, you get another layer. And you know, and I'm basically 66 years old, but you know, I don't even feel for. I feel better than I did when I was 40, and a lot of it has to do with this, with these positive vibrations. Because I don't know if you mentioned, but I'm going to be talking about Sanskrit, which is and some. I think I'll share some mantra recordings I've done. That's a sacred language that really physiologically and mentally changes a person. Hebrew is the other sacred language we have, and so, you know, it's not just words. It's more than words. There's the phononic properties, these aspects of the atom that literally the vibration, the phonons are vibration and sound, and these vibrations and sounds and these sacred languages, they do make a physiological change. And talking about chi, which is something, chi and prana, that I'm going to talk a lot about too, because it's all interrelated with the the theta level brain waves.
And just, I love that you have this whole scientific background to bring to the table to explain all of this. And I think this is going to be an amazing show, and I can already feel by the interaction we have going and how much we could probably just talk and talk and talk here. I just want to encourage people to tune in 2 weeks to look at this, because the power of the theta brainwave and the influences on that. And I went in and did listen to the mantras on there, and I'm really looking forward to having you explain those different pieces to people with that. And again, this is Dr. Robert Newton that I've got on the phone. He is going to be the guest on our show in 2 weeks from tonight. So definitely tune in. And this is what I mean. I have amazing guests coming up on the show.
It looks like I warmed myself into an extra guest spot, doesn't it?
It was a perfect night to do it. It was a perfect night.
Yeah, I'm in ninja mode right now, so I'm in stealth mode, so I'm sneaking around a little bit.
Well, Robert, I really want to thank you for calling in. I've got just a couple of things
to
get into the show, And I'm looking forward to talking with you much, much more in 2 weeks.
Yeah, thank you. Namaste.
Namaste. Great. And just as we kind of wrap up here tonight, I want to remind you of a few things. Again, if you've been enjoying the show or you missed any part of the show, or if you'd like to catch some of our previous shows and guests, you can do so in the archives. There's a couple of places you can do that. I've got them all listed on my Facebook page for Activating Compassion, which is facebook.com/activatingcompassion. And then if you go /notes, and that is where you'll find the archived ones. Events has the upcoming shows. Also on my website, jessieannicholsgeorge1.com. And that's got a whole Main Street Universe section, which has not only my information and my show, but it's also got all of the other shows here on Main Street Universe. And I want to remind you of those shows because we have a whole list of them. We have kicking off the week on Sunday nights, we have Darren Bouquet. He's sharing his gift of psychic readings. On Monday nights, we have Mary Phelan, and she does a wonderful show on insights and delving into different things. Tuesday nights. Kevin Baird, who was in our chat earlier, is on Monday nights with his Horizon Oracle journeys. Mary Phelan is on Tuesday nights. This past Tuesday, she did a show that was about dreams and working with dream states and interpretations, so that was very interesting. We have our flagship show on Wednesday nights with Daniel and Janice. They're discussing different topics. Sometimes they have guests on the show. They have the Grimassis coming up. Kevin also has some incredible guests coming up on his show on Monday night, so you want to tune in for the other shows as well on there. Follow those things. You can look at their individual pages and see what they have coming up, as well as their archived shows on there. Again, there's specials. I'll have additional videos going up on my website for you to check out, as well as being able to follow up on the Compassion Tour on there. So tons and tons of things that you can do. If you'd like to share this link or go back and listen in the archives again, the link that you use to get into the show, or either on my website or on my Activating Compassion Facebook page, I'm happy to connect with you on any of those realms. Don't forget the specials that are going on. You only have a few days left to take advantage of getting the free ebooks and the half off on the half day and full day coaching and energy alignment sessions that I've made available too on that. And I just want to remind you here that this is Jessie Ann Nichols George. I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into Activating Compassion. Don't forget that if you've enjoyed the show, I mentioned that. And I want to get one more thing in here, too. The Women in Business Expo is going on in Cedar City, Utah. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be discussing self-publishing at that event. I'm leading a panel. It runs from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and my particular session's at 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're in the area, feel free to come on by and check out what's going on there. I'm going to leave you tonight with the song Yearning For, Over and Over is the other name of it, by Shemshai. Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. The light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. And we see it eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we walk to walk just a little bit slower, whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we'll reveal it. One to another, all we'll discover, the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning, deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning for. Over and over, life is your lover, learning to walk.